Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, Mr. Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show on the final day of February, this Tuesday, the 28th of February, 2017. My nephew was born on a leap year, so he has to celebrate only every 4 years, but he gets to, well, he celebrates today, but still, it's his real birthday is the 29th. Hope you're having a good day. We're coming to you from AM 1030. KVOI. You can call us on the live line anytime, 790-2040 for your questions and comments. Dr. Zach Guido is with us. Zach is the gentleman we call upon to talk about weather and climate. He is a climate scientist with the University of Arizona Climate Assessment for the Southwest Group at the UA-based Institute for the Environment. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Bill.
I love to look at these numbers that are coming in from California's High Sierra, topping 500 inches of snow. Squaw Valley, 565 inches. That's 47 feet of snow on the ground at Squaw Valley. And Mount Rose, up in the Tahoe area, 636 inches. This has been pretty much a historic snowpack up in the high country.
I think it's a great winter to be a ski bum.
Yeah,
it's been impressive. This, I think, is the winter many of us, many people who study the climate, expected last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, California's been the epicenter of a substantial amount of precipitation. I think many parts in the Sierras are running at close to their highest totals at this point of the year ever. So yeah, it's been a wet and wild winter so far.
I was going to say that the meteorologists, Zach, have been saying that we're seeing what they call atmospheric rivers this season. Those are kind of where you see your weather folks say, look at this. They look at the satellite photo, and it's like the storms are lined up all the way to the far east.
Yeah, atmospheric rivers, it's becoming more commonly known. You know, it's a term that's been thrown around quite a bit historically with the climate sciences. But it's basically this long stretch of narrow, high concentrations of water vapor. So if you look down at a map, it'll look like a river. And I think many of us here in the Southwest know them sort of more by their colloquial name, the Pineapple Expresses.
Mm-hmm.
But they tend to deliver the large events in any given year, and they have this year. In fact, we've had, I believe, 10 so far.
Yes, 10.
10. And we normally, I should say the West Coast, normally gets struck by anywhere between 5 and 7. So, and these things can carry, like I said, like large amounts of precipitation. So if you get 3 more of those storms, you're going to have huge anomalies, huge excess amounts of precipitation.
How has this translated for us? We're having pretty much an average wet winter here in southern Arizona. It's been nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you look, that's right, southeast Arizona, Cochise County, our county, and Pinal County have been a little bit below average.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot below average, but anywhere outside of that, particularly the high country, northwest Arizona, they've experienced about 150% of average to date. And a lot of those storms that have come in through the West Coast have sort of missed us to the northwest, but have clipped parts of our state. So much of the interior west, much of the west, from about the Washington, Oregon, northern Idaho and Montana areas south have been above average. So if you blur your eyes and just look at a precipitation map across the west, it's been a very wet winter.
The snowpack is measured by percent of normal, and in California, they're pushing 188% of normal.
Yeah, they're happy on in one respect that it's filling up the reservoirs, so their water supply issues are diminishing. Of course, with these large precipitation events bring quite a bit of challenges for water management and danger to people, and they've experienced that. I think the Oroville Dam, we've mm-hmm. all heard about that, the challenges that they've had as these reservoirs have, you know, filled up and more precipitation is in the forecast, and it's a race to try to empty the those reservoirs. So, you know, they're earning their keeps this year. But yeah, snowpacks across the West are above average. Incidentally, or interestingly, in Arizona, they're actually below average. But that's not because we haven't seen in the high country quite a bit of precipitation. It's just because that these atmospheric rivers, they tend to ferry in moisture from the tropics, which also bring in warm air. And so what tends to happen is the snow lines are much higher, and so you don't get as much snowpack.
La Nina has ended, is that correct?
Yeah, La Nina has officially ended. I'm not sure it ever really began. It was sort of weak to begin with, so it didn't provide us with much confidence as what the seasonal precipitation might do going forward. But it has officially ended, and there is some indication now that we may experience next winter an El Nino, but it's pretty far in advance.
And why did you say this is kind of the moisture that had been expected last year in California, Zach?
Well, last year we had our epically strong, I should say, very intense El Nino event. It was one of the, and by some measures, it became the strongest on record. And
right.
That strength sort of gave us a little bit more guidance that we'd experience increased precipitation. And, you know, it didn't. It had the opposite of, effect. The storms were pushed a little bit further north.
So yeah, the Northwest got a lot of moisture.
Which is opposite of what you would expect during a strong El Nino event. And so this season is a little bit more reminiscent of what we would have expected last year. But we'll take it nonetheless.
Oh, yes. Let's go to the live line. Dan has called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Dan. You're with Zach Guido.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe I misunderstood him. Did he say that we had an excessive amount of rain in northwestern Arizona? I just drove back from Las Vegas, and Lake Mead, to me, looks like it's almost empty.
I don't know. Zach, what do you know?
Yes, Lake Mead has sort of been perpetually low, and it takes a lot of water to make that reservoir. It's a huge amount of water there. It takes a lot of successive years of high precipitation to put a dent or to increase the volume in Lake Mead. But, you know, Lake Mead's still hovering around that elevation line 1075, which once the water elevation goes below that, it sort of calls some shortage agreement for shortages or conservation, if you will, into play. So yeah, Lake Mead, we'll probably see a bump from this winter, but you know, the water supply issues in the Southwest will not go away from one good year. But I will say that if you look at the December, January, and February precipitation totals in many parts of Northwest Arizona, many parts of Northern Arizona, for that matter, we're above average.
And another call about Lake Mead, and it's a good question. I'll let David ask it. David, go ahead. You're with Zach Guido.
Well, actually, it's a comment and a question.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I think it's dropping is we're putting in too much development in this area. You know, all these cities are growing and demanding more water from the Colorado River, and that's what's dropping this lake. And if we're going to have any kind of future, we need to stop growing our population, because that lake has dropped 170 feet, and we have all this rain that's not coming back.
Okay, thank you, David. That it is a good question. Why is it somewhat of an anomaly? Or what's going on, Zach?
People talk about this. They describe it as a structural deficit. So what's going on is that more water is allocated for use for agriculture, for urban water supplies, then actually gets put back in the river by precipitation and snowpack melt.
So it is a development issue then?
It's in part a development issue. It's in part, you know, we probably can do better conservation. We can maybe use our water more efficiently. We can direct it to different places. I mean, it's really an issue of for society to decide how best to allocate a limited, scarce resource. I mean, The Colorado River alone provides water to, I believe it's 33 million people in seven mm-hmm. states in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. and it's not a big river. From people that grew up in the East, like me, it's not a big river.
Let's see if we can work one more call. And Dave is on the line. Dave, go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering what you're talking about when you talk average. Are you talking the last 20 years?
Right.
Both of which were really pretty dry? Mm-hmm.
That's a great, great question. In climatology, what we refer to average is a 30-year period that gets updated every 10 years. So the most current average is 1981 to 2010. And we do that for 30 years is a good sort of statistical number that it is a large enough sample size for which you can detect sort of statistical significance. So it's rooted in sort of math and it has a theory of why we use 30 years. It does change depending on who you are. Some people like to use the full record. It's probably less justifiable to use a shorter period. Just because we know that the climate can vary quite considerably year to year.
All right, Zach, I'm going to have to let you go. But overall, it's a good year, a good winter anyway, for the West.
We'll take it.
All right, Zach Guido from the University of Arizona, climate scientist. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, is next. Be right back.
Hi, Dr. Kevin Lehman for Five Star Termite and Pest Control. You know, we've had the same technician at our house for 11 years, and he's wonderful. But you know what? What does that tell you about the company? It tells you it's a great company who treats their people right. And they treat us customers great. I wouldn't use anybody. Truly, truly, listen to me. But Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Wednesday at noon on The Buckmaster Show. It is the first Wednesday of the month. That means showdown time with David Morales and Sean McCluskey. Buckmaster airs on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We've got worldwide live listening podcasts and the complete show archive. Got about 6 years worth of programs at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, is on the Buckmaster Show live line. He is at an investor meeting up in the Phoenix area. Shelley, how are you today?
I am well, and it's Tuesday and the market's down. Otherwise, it's great.
Just a few points or what?
Just a few points. It's not a bad day, and after the markets run up and day after day after day of new highs, I think a little breather is probably in order.
And the month is closing out today. It will be a very good month, generally, for the Wall Street area.
Yeah, it's going to be a good month, and we head into the last month of the quarter up a silly amount. So, I've called it irrational exuberance. People are betting on the come. They're betting on the fact that what we're going to see is some tax relief for businesses, as well as some infrastructure investment. And, you know, potentially even tax relief for people who are consumers. And in that case, of course, that money would normally get spent and be stimulative to the economy.
The border tax idea, the issue, is not going away. In fact, it seems to be picking up some steam, isn't it?
Yeah, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, this border adjustment tax. It turns out to be part and parcel of the Ryan tax proposal that's in the budget being proposed by the House of Representatives. So there's a 20% across the board tax as it's being proposed on all imports or on the component of imports that are manufactured outside of the United States. So what my clients have been asking me about is what is going to be the short and medium term impact of that kind of tax on investments. And the reason they're not so concerned about the long term is because the long term effect is going to be really, you know, we're going to have to see this is going to be an experiment in a kind of economics that we have not ever experimented with in this country. So long term, we'll have to see how these new tax adjustments, the reduction in the business tax, overall continuing reductions in personal income taxes and other adjustments to the tax code, those will take a year or more, maybe even 4 or 5 years, to bleed their way through the economy. But what my clients are really interested in is what's going to happen in the short term.
And the businesses have been lining up against it, but Mr. Ryan says this is really the only way, Shelley, to overcome the tax cuts that are anticipated.
Well, that's right. It is not a coincidence that the anticipated revenues over a decade in the BAT tax or the border adjustment tax and the cuts that are anticipated mostly on the business side but also on the individual side are about $1 trillion. So those things are potentially offsetting. And then if, in fact, the supply-siders are correct and the economy benefits and grows faster than it would have grown otherwise, then that will begin to cut into the deficit. But what the tax people on the on the Ryan team needed to do was find a way to at least be revenue neutral to start. And that's not going to help the deficit at all. But if they're revenue neutral, then you can take a look at what some people believe will be benefits to the growth in the economy to begin to cut the deficit.
So is this being done anywhere that you can point to? Is this common in other countries? We know of a value-added tax that's very typical in European countries. How is this different?
This is across the board as far as we know right now. I don't know of any countries that do it quite this way. All it will do, you know, on day one and a half after that tax is in effect, all prices will essentially go up 20% for U.S. consumers. There will be some companies that don't pass that added cost on to consumers immediately, but eventually they're going to have to. And that means that there will be an effect on the way consumers have to spend their money to buy things that have import components, and that's going to make those things more expensive. Theoretically, that will drive consumers to the extent that U.S. products are less expensive back to U.S. manufactured products. But the differences in manufacturing and other costs that drive companies overseas for all or part of their manufacturing typically exceed 20% anyway. So for the most part, people who shop in Walmart are going to pay more.
That was my next question. So folks that go to the outlet stores and the discounters, they're going to notice this pretty much right away, aren't they?
Right away. And then we're going to begin to see it in larger items as well. We'll see it in durables. We'll see it in cars. We'll see it in the bigger things that we buy and use for a long time, because a lot of the components are imported. And when those components come in, even if the final product is assembled in the U.S., the components that go into that final product will be higher. The other thing that most economists are talking about in this case is that such a tax would actually have the effect of strengthening the U.S. dollar vis-a-vis the euro, the pound, the yen, and the yuan. And that will make exports from U.S. manufacturers even harder for manufacturers to do. And so what we'll see is that our products become less competitive in the export market, and that could be a problem. The other problem we could begin to see is that other countries begin to retaliate. In other words, they say, well, if you're going to slap 20% on our stuff, we're going to slap 20% or more on your stuff. And now we get into trade war category. And so there are potential unknowns here. We just don't know what they're going to be. My guess is as the discussions with manufacturers and U.S. companies become more heated, lobbying becomes more heated in the Congress, we'll see adjustments. And this thing won't just be across the board. There's going to have to be tweaks. And as you know, I believe we need a dashboard. We need some way of measuring the effects of these policies in the short, medium, and long term. And I hope that we begin to see, you know, not from Shelley Fishman in Tucson, but from, you know, people who really count out there in policy land, we'll see some insistence on taking a look at these policies and measuring their impact and then adjusting them one direction or another as the policies are implemented and flow through the economy.
Can you take a quick call, Shelley?
Sure.
All right. Richard would like to join in. Go ahead, Richard.
All right, thank you, Bill. You know, what Shelley's describing, of course, is a disastrous situation for the average American in our country with this type of inflation that's going to be intentionally thrown upon us by Trump and Mr. Bannon. You know, Shelley, I think what should be included in your description is the fact that this is their strategy to tank our economy and then to rebuild it in this act of nationalism. Of course, it may be a 5 or 10 year process.
Okay.
Our economy will be wrecked and ruined.
All right.
This
well, Richard, I'm going to, you know, I might say in full disclosure, I agree with you, but I'm trying not to go there.
Right.
But I'm trying not, first of all, the across the board that is the Ryan idea. It is not right now supported that I know of in the administration. So that's one thing. Though they have talked about import tariffs, they haven't talked about them across the board. What is so important from my perspective and from investors' perspective is that we don't just do this blindly like they did in Kansas and then say, ultimately, this is going to win, and regardless of what pain we have to endure on the way, we believe it's the right thing to do. Hopefully what we'll do, because this is an experiment in macroeconomics, hopefully we'll be able to measure impact, and there will be, if not economics pressure, certainly political pressure to make adjustments as we go along. But I agree with you. If we just blindly say supply side is the way to go, we're going to cut taxes, we're going to wall off the country, I think that there could be serious damage done to both our economy and the economies around the world. You're right. There is a propensity on the part of the administration to want to extricate the United States from multilateral deals and from, in fact, the fact that this is a global economy. And that's very alarming to me. It's alarming to a lot of my clients. But we have to see. This is going to happen. Okay. So as it happens, we need to measure it.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Have a great day.
You too, Bill. Thank you so much.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine. Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over at Green Things. They do such a beautiful job over there on 13 acres along the Rito River, 3384 East River Road. Say hi to Jan and Jack, the owners, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things, AZ.com for all of your gardening needs. The Ward 2 Tucson City Councilman is Paul Cunningham. A Democrat, and Councilman Cunningham is with us on the live line. Paul, how are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk right off the bat about Chief Magnus's op-ed today in the Arizona Daily Star. Immigration status, no barrier in protecting Tucson residents. Let me just share with our listeners just a paragraph out of the Chief's op-ed. He says, the president's executive orders do not dictate our local policies or practices. We have neither the authority nor the resources to take on any new immigration enforcement responsibilities. What did you think of the op-ed?
Well, I think it he's basically trying to let people know that the police department's going to go on as business as usual until we have until, you know, some type of federal law changes. Again, part of it is that the more we take on as a police department, the more responsibilities we take on, the harder it is to enforce the job that we're already charged with doing. So I think that that's important for him to let the public know in the interest of transparency of what he's planning on doing. And I think that demonstrates leadership. Now, whether you agree or not with the policy, that's a different discussion. But he's just doing his job. And I think that's important for our police chief to do.
And he's talking about that whole issue of, quote, sanctuary jurisdictions. He says it's very complex. How do you view the city of Tucson? I know we say we're an immigrant welcoming community. How do you view that?
I think we should be. I think it's really important to remember that tourists from south of the border comprise a substantial piece to our economic system. It's probably worth about. So here's a really good line. So in San Diego, I was talking to a guy from San Diego, and he said, to put in perspective, the retail commerce generated by visitors from south of the border is the equivalent to 3 Super Bowls in 1 year for the city of San Diego.
Wow.
And so I thought, well, so what's it like for Tucson? And I figured, you know, we're not as big as San Diego. In fact, San Diego combined with Tijuana and Ensenada comprise like the 7th largest municipal economy in the world. It's a pretty unique situation. It's a very positive symbiotic relationship that those communities have. We have somewhat of a relationship with Nogales and even Hermosillo and all the way down to Guaymas, in which we work with those communities to make each other better and in mutually beneficial agreements. But also there's a retail consumer aspect to it, where if you go to the mall or you go wherever, you'll see maybe a couple license plates from Sonora, Chihuahua, Coahuila, wherever. And those people are here purchasing goods and services from our American businesses. And that's not a bad thing. I'd say that we don't have any full direct numbers. I think Felipe Garcia over at the Visit Tucson can give you a very more pinpointed number. But it does comprise a substantial piece of both our tourism revenue and our retail sales tax revenue. And if we were to completely close everything off, a lot of businesses in town would take a hit. And that's just a fact.
Yeah, and Felipe Garcia, who is the executive vice president of Visit Tucson, estimates that the market here in Pima County alone is $1 billion, that's with a B, $1 billion a year that Mexican shoppers spend in Pima County. So that's huge. Are you hearing anything about whether that, since all of this is this dust up has happened about the border, have shoppers been staying away? What are you hearing?
It's a little early. We won't know until the quarterly numbers come out, and we'll probably have a better idea. But it's a little early to say. The early numbers aren't, they're just not in yet, Bill. I mean, what I can tell you is that we're looking at about 16% growth over the past 3 years. That's the momentum we've built. Well, that's the momentum we've built into hard numbers for 14 and 15, and then the calendar year 16 estimates. We won't have a per capita income estimate for 16 until later on this year. So we probably won't know exactly what it is, but if you estimate the per capita income increased, you know, 2 or 3%, then like it did the previous year, and you take a look at the number of people punching paychecks, then, yeah, you see a nice little 3-4% increase in total economy over the last about 3 or 4 years. But we'll have to see. Kind of the proof will be in the pudding. We'll also have to take a look at how our sales tax numbers come in for this quarter, which we won't have preliminary numbers until 3 weeks into April. So that's when you're really going to have some hard data on you know, whether or not we've taken a hit economically. Again, I anticipate that when that hard data comes in, there'll be a number of different factors that will be good or bad for retail numbers. I mean, we kind of don't know yet. We don't know how the minimum wage increase is actually going to affect things. We don't know how the election of President Trump is going to affect as far as the policies and the attitudes in Mexico. We don't know. We can all sit there and speculate that it's going to be better or worse or worse or better. And the bottom line is that we'll know. We'll know in about, but I'm not going to stand here and pontificate and pretend that I know everything, because I don't. I think there's a lot of unknowns, and we just kind of have to let things go as they come, and then when they do, then we'll start making decisions on which way we should aim the policy and what kind of things. You don't want to make an ill-informed decision.
All right. 790-2040, if you would like to ask Councilman Paul Cunningham a question, or if you have a comment. We started this segment talking about the police chief, and I know that police and fire are going to be anxiously watching the May 16th special election to approve a half-cent sales tax. What's your feeling? How do you think this is going to go?
I think it's about as responsible a tax. Nobody wants to raise taxes, least of all me. You don't get elected and go, I can't wait to raise taxes when I get elected. I mean, it's just, you know, no one in their right mind lives like that. We've tried to put some safety measures on here. We're trying to make sure that the voters know as many specific capital things we can label. We're trying to be as transparent as possible. We're also sunsetting the thing in 5 years. And we're also doing it for stuff. It's not to in expand the bureaucracy. It's going into public safety and roads. It's all for capital improvements. The tough part is, in the interest of transparency, is the moving target, the moving target factor. You know, who's to say that we're going to need in 3 years, who's to say we're going to need a new pumper truck or a new ambulance? Who's to say in 3 years exactly are we 100% sure we want to Cape seal this 1 mile of residential road, or maybe we can get away with fog sealing this
this 5 miles that covers a full square mile of residential road. And the moving target factor is the hardest thing in this interest of transparency, because if you say, well, we're going to use it on roads, but we can't say which one, people are saying, hey, wait a minute now, I want to know what I'm paying for. And if you say, well, the reason is, you try to explain, hey, it's kind of a moving target, we're going to do it in this area, and then something may come up that probably may require our decision, and you don't want to, that's kind of the hardest part of this discussion. And so I'd say with all that being said, I think the community truly understands the capital needs that are needed. You know, a few years ago, impact fees were kind of swept into, they're kind of like in a black hole. You can't really use them for deferred maintenance and stuff like that. You can't make development agreements to use them for deferred maintenance anymore. And as a result, a lot of different cities who are old, who have some age, like Tucson, have some deferred maintenance costs that have kind of piled up and are running into these things. I think the last part is that this sales tax increase would still keep the city, I believe, right in the middle as far as municipalities around the state and how much they charge for sales tax. So I think those are all pieces and parts of the discussion.
All right.
It's a tough one, but it does sunset in 5 years, and it helps us address a significant number of capital needs in public safety and roads.
I need to take a break. When we come back, I will ask you, Councilman Cunningham, to answer some of the critics of this proposal who say that the city needs to be punished for not keeping up the roads and police and fire. But that's when we come back after this break.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show. Councilman Cunningham is on the live line. Before we get back to him, I do want to say a quick shout out to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. These folks have been with us pretty much since the beginning of the Buckmaster Show, more than 6 years ago. So I urge you, you'll have a great time. It's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. The Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument should be on everybody's bucket list. I mean, this is an area that was last inhabited in the 1200s. A lot of history over in Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org and look at their website. All the listing of the things to do and places to stay. Councilman Cunningham, Ward 2, with us on the live line. Paul, I know you've been over to that beautiful area of the southwestern United States.
Yes, it's a great place.
It is.
You've got all kinds of places in New Mexico. They're kind of our partner.
Yeah.
They're kind of our partner in crime in the southwest. There's so many different similarities in our state, and we're proud to have them as a neighbor, and Silver City is a beautiful place.
So what do you say to the group that is a very upset about the sales tax increase, that in effect, that they're urging a no vote to say, well, why did the city let it get to this stage?
Well, remember, it's not like somebody showed up and said, hey, let's just ignore all the deferred maintenance. Or hey, let's just stop fixing roads. There's a series of events that occur from before I took office and after I took office, and I'm not going to play the old it's somebody else's fault 20 years ago. So I'm not doing that. I voted for 6 budgets in a row. They've all been balanced. I think they've been the most responsible packages, and I back it up. But the bottom line is that a number of different things happened. And I'll be specific so people understand. One is, around 08, the state started sweeping what's called HERF money. And they also swept what's called LTAP money. That's money that the city used to use for transit and roads. And once that money got swept, we had a 25-month period where we did zero maintenance on roads. Zero. And once we got to a certain point, we fell so far behind, it was going to take even more money to get quote-unquote caught up. It was probably going to take around $250 million. We raised $100 million of it with 409. The sales tax piece represents the second part to kind of get us caught up so we're not playing catch-up. Another thing that happened was the Great Recession. We had a lot of people that didn't have as much money in their households anymore. And as a result, they didn't buy as many things. As a result, the sales tax revenues, both from the state shared side and the city side, dropped considerably. This coupled with the fact that at those times, the property tax assessments went up in the city. So people had to pinch their pennies just to stay in their homes. A lot of people lost their homes, so we've even lost on property tax rentals, revenues at the time as well. So what did we do? Well, we eliminated some 1,200 positions in the city of Tucson. At its peak, the city of Tucson employed some 55, 56, 5,700 people. We've gotten all the way down to under 4,000. Now we're back up. We've crept up above 4,200, 4,300 again. But again, that includes police and fire and kind of vital positions that we need in the city. So when we were down all those positions, things get neglected. Deferred maintenance doesn't happen. And you can't make capital purchases when you're just trying to keep the lights on and make sure we have the proper number of people on patrol and make sure we have enough fire coverage and make sure every shift is full. And that's not, you know, we were kind of doing everything on a shoestring. We were like in crisis all the time. We finally kind of put the pieces back together. We're out of crisis. We've privatized some things in our ledger that we shouldn't have been doing as a public function anyway. We have seen a nice increase in sales tax revenues and other revenues so that we can kind of actually run the city the way it's supposed to be and get a decent amount of service delivery. We've even, I don't know if people remember in 2011 when that summer, when I, like all the medians were never even groomed. And I'm actually having a meeting today about the medians because we're still not to the level that we want to be on them.
Yeah.
But these are all these service delivery things, having green grass. So all those things get neglected when you're running everything on a shoestring budget. So that's my answer. I mean, my answer is that there's a lot of different things that have happened. I think we've been pretty responsible, and we're trying to be as transparent as possible into continue. I think this helps us with our service delivery.
All right, let's see if we can work two calls in about 3 minutes. Eric, you're first, wants to talk about the roads. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, thank you. After years and years of neglect, Tucson Boulevard finally got repaved from Fort Lowell, I think, all the way up to Speedway. Beautiful job. And yesterday I'm driving down on Tucson Boulevard in that area, and there's a big, huge rut where a contractor cut the road and sloppily put it back with a giant divot now across Tucson Boulevard. And
wow.
My question is, it was a beautiful, brand new pavement. And why doesn't the city have a permit, standards, and inspections for these contractors that cut the road and then just throw a bunch of dirt and buy some asphalt, throw it in, and leave, and they don't put it back like they found it? That's why our roads get to be, in large part, the way they are, because
okay.
There's so many cuts and such a sloppy repavement.
All right.
Eric, that's a really good point, and there's a couple things that happen, including when we do utility movements after work. And we do have standards and inspections on where it is, but sometimes it's by report only. If you want to call my office or the Ward 6 office where this is, we'll definitely make sure somebody gets out there and ensure that the contractor does what they're supposed to do. They're actually supposed to, if they ever cut a road, they're actually supposed to blend it and reseal it. Unfortunately, a lot of times that doesn't happen. So I appreciate the heads up, and I agree that that's one of the issues we have.
Let's see if we can work Robert in. Robert, go ahead.
Paul, Rosemont is beautiful. A sales tax, like a gas tax, if it's hard on you, you can mitigate it by buying less or driving less. But if we give you this money, give me your word that you will spend it on what you say you're going to spend it on. And if you give me that word, how can I check up on you to make sure it actually happens?
Okay.
So it's really interesting you bring that up. And again, the 409 money is a good example. We actually have a running website that shows the 409 money, each project. It lists each project. We're actually going to do that at a higher level in this one. I actually want an interactive website that on a daily basis will compound the estimated sales tax and on a daily basis show what expenditures we are. We have it planned out pretty well. Now, the one thing is that moving target factor, which is, you know, me giving you my word that if we say we're going to use it on roads, we're going to use it on roads. But the truth of the matter is the hard part is to tell you exactly which road every single, you know, 5 years in advance, because there may be a situation where we can get a little more bang for our buck if we have a little flexibility in the projects. But I can tell you right now, this is not going for plan. This is not going for drawings. It isn't going for like that Rio Nuevo black hole of discussing and drawing and stuff like that. This is going for actual asphalt.
All right.
This is going for actual trucks and tires. This is going for actual equipment for police. And there is actually a detailed list on the website of what the major capital improvements are.
All right, Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon and a great meeting at the council tonight. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Paul Cunningham with us tonight. Actually, this afternoon from 4 to 5, it's Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen will ably be assisting Mike on the other side of the glass. Tomorrow morning, some of our other local talk shows, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9. And then Talking Culture, a new show doing very well for us from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster. A lot to do tomorrow on the showdown. Until then, Ray and I say, have a great afternoon and evening.